Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so this, I'm going to start with this one here. I'm going to start with the boat guy. We're going to, let's see how we're going to do this one. Okay. A Florida man was caught on surveillance taking a deuce while trying to rob a boat. 75-year-old Florida man. So, Kane, this goes right into what you were saying, that old people are not innocent.
Yeah, that's
75.
By the way, is he taking him one or is he leaving one? Because I think it's more accurate.
Yeah, why do people say he's taking a deuce?
Right.
Or
he's definitely leaving it.
Yeah. So he is caught doing the do while attempting to rob a boat. It was a 75-year-old Florida man. He went through a docked boat. Didn't take anything. Michael Wiersbicki Sr. was captured on surveillance video while attempting to rob a boat in the early morning hours of Sunday, September 17th. He was in Punta Gorda Police Department. The boat's owner was asleep. It was at the Park Marina. Officers were informed by the victim that an elderly man was on the boat. Security cameras going through his stuff. And, well, he deuced right on the boat. They arrested him. They finally got him. But, yeah, he deuced right there on the boat. He left a deuce. He didn't take anything. Okay, here we go. Sleepy drug dealer caught with fentanyl in an unusual spot. Okay, so this woman, Katrina Workman, stashed a bag of fentanyl in her backside. Her jail wallet. It's what it is. She was arrested Tuesday, charged with 3 counts of possession of a controlled substance without a prescription, 1 count of possession of methamphetamine, 1 count of introducing a controlled substance. She had a lot of charges. Here's my thing. If, like, one, like, little bit of that can kill you, do you really trust a baggie? Right? You're going to... Golly, people. As students begin heading back to school, do you think they'll be learning about the founding principles that made America the freest and most prosperous nation in history? Will they learn that our unalienable rights are God-given and not granted by government? Will they be given a full and honest account of our nation's history? The answer to all of these questions is yes for students at Hillsdale College. In addition to teaching college students, Hillsdale has extended its teaching to K-12 students and lifelong learners like you. If you're not doing so already, one of the best ways to start learning from the folks at Hillsdale is through Imprimis, Hillsdale's free digest of liberty. You can sign up for free at this special website for a limited time at dana4hillsdale.com. And you can look forward to Imprimis each month. It's interesting, useful, and free. And it's one of the best and smartest in conservative constitutionalist thought. Find out more about Hillsdale College and sign up for Imprimis at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com.
Social media apps yes, that is. We could have. And what you've got, I honestly, every time I hear you, I feel a little bit dumber for what you say. Because I can't believe TikTok situation. What they're doing.
Finish him.
This is my first thought. I was watching this debate. And I'm not even a Haley fan, but I was watching this debate and I went back to like, I'm like, Mortal Kombat was made for this. Not for the enjoyment of playing games, but because one day they knew that I was going to play this soundbite during a debate. That's why. That's the whole reason why. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. The bottom of this first hour. You know, I would have played a drinking game watching the debate, but I felt like I was already drunk without the benefit of alcohol, just listening to some of the answers from these candidates. You deserve better, listeners. You deserve better. You also deserve, like, decent moderation. I don't dislike the people that were up there, except for the Univision lady. The hell was that? Seriously, sidebar. Can we just, like, have a, you know, a side chat here? What was that about? Who's she? She gets up there and she's like, you guys are racist and you all probably hate brown people. So let me ask you this question. Everything was pretty much like that. Oh, you guys know it. It went through that filter. You guys want to hear the grossest, the worst overshare from the debate? Because this is really what it's all about. Yes, I could talk to you about policy and hits and misses, which I'll get to. But I had to hear this. And so you will, too. This, ladies and gentlemen, is audio soundbite 15,000.
My wife isn't a member of the teachers union, but I got to admit, I
I've been sleeping with a teacher for 38 years. And so full disclosure.
No, don't. That does not make you more relatable. Stop it. People are just like, well, I would hope you would sleep with your wife, you know, and don't tell us about it. That'd be great. Do and just no, never tell anybody. Just like that. That was one of the biggest. Now, the soundbite we came in with was the biggest kick in the neck of the night. That was Nikki Haley to Ramaswamy. Now, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? There's a point. Maybe you're watching a movie. Maybe you're watching a TV show, whatever. And there's someone that really deserves to be bullied. And you guys know I'm being honest, right? There's someone you know who totally deserves to be bullied. And when it happens, you're like, yeah, somebody got told. They got put in their place. Schadenfreude. But then, like, that energy keeps going from that same person. And you're like, okay, that's, you know, we like that moment, but don't keep it going. This is not, you can't ride this out. You just can't ride the bitch wave all the way through to the debate. You can't do that. Because then you make the guy look sympathetic. And I don't think that that's what Nikki Haley wanted to do, but I fear that she kind of did with some of his people, with some of Vivek Ramaswamy's people. She made him feel like, that made him look like he was the victim. I don't know. We have the best Freudian slip of the whole debate. Which one? Let me see. It's like we have a 50. Okay, here it is. I'll do some by three. This was the biggest Freudian slip of the debate. Listen.
Hunter Biden, millions of dollars, was a partner of yours as well. It's not nonsense.
So look, I want to respond. These are good people who are tainted by a broken system. And it's not the fault of anybody who's involved.
Some of us are tainted, but the bottom line is we need to buy paper.
Thank you for speaking while I'm interrupting.
You said buy paper.
Oh, thank you for speaking while I'm interrupting. That's so great. That was the biggest Freudian slip of the night. He didn't really have a lot of policy. He would break into these platitudes. And I'm just so tired of that, right? He acts like he's Oliver Twist. You know, I grew up and I was eating gruel and I would go with my empty bowl. Stop it. Shush up. You were not. I can't deal with it. Everyone, it's like they have a pour off. You know, have you noticed that? I was poor. You weren't poor. I was too. I was joking the week before when Mike Pence and Mitt Romney got into a fight. How does that work when you have two guys that wrap themselves in faith and they try to act like the biggest Christian on earth? I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but you guys know what I'm talking about, right? Like, you know, this was warned about with the Pharisees. And how do you fight like that? Like, I'm going to pray for you. No, I'm going to pray for you. Bless you. God bless you. Just like, how does that work? I don't know. He was weird. Pence was weird last night. Don't you think so? He was off-er than usual. And it didn't look well. You really did have a stark contrast, I think, between old and new. Like, you had the old guard GOP, which is like the Christies and the Pences. And then you had, like, the newer people, which I would think is the DeSantis. And I'd throw Ramaswamy, I don't think, is a genuine Republican, but I would throw him in there. Oh, he's not. And then you have Doug Burgum, who only got on stage because I really think last night was an elaborate sting operation to help Eugene Levy get his eyebrows back. Because Doug Burgum, who's the governor of North Dakota, he has Eugene Levy's eyebrows. Google it, and you'll be like, I'll be dang, Dana's right. I think it was just an elaborate sting operation to get those back. Every now and then he would pipe up, and he wanted to be ungovernable from the beginning because the moderators would intercede and say, no, they'd interrupt him interrupting and say, you need to speak in the time allotted. And Burgum's like, the hell I will. I mean, he just was not having it. It was fun. He was like a goose with a knife. He was not having it. It was, right? It's totally what he was like. Be ungovernable. So that was I kind of liked that when he got mad and just kept going. There were, it was weird. Did your mind change? Did anyone's mind actually change after last night's debate? I think we have to seriously now have the question or answer the question of we've got to really start winnowing down this field. We really do. You have heard me talk a lot about how much I love my Kel-Tec P50. It's just so versatile and has become a global choice of protective details and sport shooters like me. Well, have y'all seen the new R50? Like the P50, the R50 carbine is light, well-balanced, and easily manipulated. The side-folding tack driver gives you maximum speed, accuracy, and power downrange. It is great fun out on the range. It looks like a SpaceX blaster, and the 5.7 cartridge comes in several variants, from sporting to hunting to serious personal defense. Now, the R50 comes with two 50-round double-stack mags that lay horizontally along the top, and just like the P50, the R50 offers over 7 inches of rail space up top for a wide range of optic options and even more space on the bottom for accessories. To learn more about the new R50 carbine, visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Kel-Tec, 30 years of innovation to help secure your world. Visit KeltecWeapons.com today. KeltecWeapons.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Oh, yes. We have a lot more of the debate stuff coming up, too, because I have some... The grossest moment still hasn't happened. There was one. Okay, so first up, there was a fan. This was not even in Florida. This was a fan who was denied entry into a Phillies game because they tried to bring in an emotional support alligator. Excuse me, I thought this was America. Phillies fans, one fan was denied entry into the Citizens Bank Park Wednesday night. He tried to get in with his emotional support alligator. The Philadelphia Inquirer identified the guy as Joy Henny, and his alligator named Wally helps him battle depression. So according to the officials, the Philly official website, they say guide dogs, service animals in training are welcome. Other animals are prohibited. Dude, he's got this thing harnessed. It's like harnessed, and it's his emotional support gator. And Henny told the Inquirer that Wally has 109 followers on TikTok, so doesn't that make him legit? Likes to give hugs and is friendly. He said his doc wanted to put him on depression medicine. He hates taking medicine. He had Wally. And when I was around him, I was okay. And my doctor was like, okay, well, it works, so why not? So he said he rescues reptiles at home and at zoos and has them finds them homes at zoos and sanctuaries. And he's had Wally since 2015. He's not like a huge gator, but I get it. You know, like it's, you know, they're a little bit. I mean, can you train him? I mean, normally you have to have those animals certified, and the certification shows that they've gone through a level of training, meaning they're not going to just like attack. And, you know, so I do think you got to be careful with that, because I've heard of stories, and I've actually known people who've had their actual animals attacked and bitten by animals that are emotional support animals, and they go after actual trained animals. So, you know, we can't. Yeah, I get it. I get it. But I do like that little gator. It's kind of funny. I love me some curly fries, like as much as the next person, but y'all don't need to be doing this stuff, okay? Like, we don't need this. This is in Texas at a Jack in the Box. It, like, went crazy because it was a drive-fry shooting. That's right. It happened, like, literally in 21, but now the surface is only, the footage has only just surfaced online and it's blowing up. And it apparently kicked off at a Jack in the Box near the Bush Intercontinental Airport in Houston. And then he realized, one guy realized his $12.99 combo meal did not have the curly fries. So we went back and began raising hell with the drive-thru employee, Alonia Fantasia Ford. According to Local 10, they would not give him the curly fries, and then all hell broke loose. Police were involved. We just don't need to be doing that, right? Like, just ask it politely. You know, you'll get it your way. Just don't be crazy. And coming up, I'm going to play for you an Aztec death whistle, because apparently the legend is that that's accompanied human sacrifices. I also think they should play it at every debate, which we got more of, and a lot of other stuff, too. Stick with us. Mm-hmm. This was not my idea. This was the idea of the crew.
That's true.
Kane and
it really was.
Steve and Juan.
So happy birthday to you. You are, just for people who know, because there's a lot of people asking online, how old is Dana? And I was like, she's 29 with several years of experience.
That's right. Yeah,
and I think that's the best answer to give.
Yeah,
to that.
I'm actually 45 today.
So, I didn't even expect you to say. I thought, I know. I've known you for so long. There were years you would not tell people how old you were.
I have my grandma's line of thinking, because my grandma would be like, "Are you really that ill-bred that you ask a woman her age?" It's like me asking like if a man of a certain age, is that your hair or plugs? You know, it's like the same thing. I don't know. I've just never really, I'm just glad I'm not a millennial. So I'm, that's how I embrace that. I embrace the Gen X of it. So yeah. Oh, it's, and so thanks for birthday wishes.
Ever since you were then 30, you've been doing this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's pretty amazing.
What was it? or was it like right? It was October 28th, 2008. Was my first show, first radio program.
So then, 15 years.
It was on a Sunday night, and all the callers were. I had one woman who only wanted to talk to me about shoes, and then I had people who would call in to talk about aliens. And then George Norrie came on my show. Like, I was only on air for like a month, and he came on my show. And I thought that was really cool.
I remember those days. Norrie.
Yeah, that was.
And even before, when you're just like a contributor, quote unquote.
Yeah.
I remember that too.
Yeah, that's wild stuff. Well, thank you guys for the
birthday. Yeah, happy birthday. We do have a little gift and a card for you, and we'll do all that, I guess, off camera.
You guys don't have to do any of that. But it's totally cool you did. Thank you guys. No. So we've been, I'll tell you this. My husband was like, well, what do you want to do for your birthday? And I was like, I want you to make pizza, because he makes really good pizza. And we have a pizza oven, and I want to play video games. So basically, I want to have like a 15-year-old boy's birthday. It's like, I don't really want to, you know, do anything. And I don't really, I just, let's literally what I want to do. I am mad because I play Vermintide 2. I usually like first-person shooter or horror games. That, you know, it's just, and I grew up playing like Doom on PC, or like when Nintendo first came out, and then Sony PlayStation and all that stuff. So I don't like the 8-bit stuff, which the younger generations apparently seem to love. I don't know why. I want it to be as realistic looking as possible. So I tend to do like old school stuff. So it'll be like Back 4 Blood, or we'll play Killing Floor or Call of Duty or Vermintide 2. And my new class isn't going to be out until October 19th. So I really can't play any more of that until my new lady's out. So anyway, some of you are like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And that's okay. That's okay. And we play casually. However, you would die if you saw our setup, because it is hardcore. When I play, I want to play. There are certain things I get super bougie at. I get really bougie about my olive oil. I get really bougie about shoes. I'll get really bougie. There's certain things, right, that you just other stuff I don't care, right? I order black T-shirts off Amazon. The shirt I'm wearing right now, I ordered off of Amazon. I paid $13.99 for the shirt. I'm really, like, some stuff I don't care. But, like, cheese? Oh, no. I want the good brie. Like really good, you know what I mean? Like, that kind of stuff. There's, like, a handful of things. My game setup? No. I got to be bougie. I want the bougie controller. I want everything to be, you know, this is how I am. So, I don't know. Everybody's got their quirks. That's mine. So, that's what I'm going to do. I literally want to eat pizza and play video games and have the birthday party of a 15-year-old boy. So there we go.
What type of pizza?
It depends. Like, usually it's just like a pepperoni pizza, and I like crispy, thin, small pepperoni. I don't like giant pepperoni. I like the thin, not too spicy, crispy pepperoni, and then a good cheese and very simple sauce. So usually it's like the San Marzano crushed tomatoes and some olive oil and just some spices, and that's keep it simple. That's usually how we roll. That's how we roll. And just a good crust, a good yeasty crust. So, yeah.
I'll be coming by later.
Yeah, I was like ruined after we went to Italy. So for people who don't know, and then I'm going to get into the meat and potato stuff, but it's my birthday, so you'll indulge me. So before we went to Italy, I was like, I actually want to, you know, I work out, and, you know, I eat super clean. I eat ridiculously clean. Like, I don't have processed sugar. I don't have dairy. I don't do any of that except for brie every now and then. I eat a lot of protein, red meat, things like that, a lot of fish. And before we went to Italy, I was like, I'm gonna just because I'm anticipating eating like Chris Christie when I get to Italy, maybe I'll drop like 5 pounds so I can pack it on with pasta and gelato. And I really thought that I was gonna come back from Italy like, you know, not being able to button my pants, because I am not kidding you. I had like, because in Italy they eat a pastry. They're not breakfast people in Italy. They'll have an espresso, and then they have like a sweet pastry, and that's it. Like, they'll have like a croissant, and sometimes it'll be like a custard filled croissant or something like that. It's a sweet pastry, and then just like, you know, your simple coffee, and then they have the pasta, and then they have like the 5,000 hour dinner, things like that. So, you know, I would have like a totally out of, you know, the blue for me. I would have like a sweet for breakfast. I had my coffee, and then I would eat gelato literally 3 times a day. I had pasta like twice. I mean, pasta. And that was like my main dish. Then I would have other dishes. You guys don't even understand how much I ate. I lost 10 pounds. Actually, technically, it was 11. And then when I was like, how did I lose weight eating this much and going to Italy? And you know how? It's because we walked, I'm not joking you, on average, 8 miles a day. We walked 8 miles a day. That was what my watch told me we were averaging. Because you walk everywhere. So I get it. I get it. That's why, you know, it makes sense to me. So I actually kind of evened out, right? Like I basically lost 5 pounds. Like I lost a little weight going over there and then I, you know, walked everywhere and then I came back and I'm like, my legs were just banging and, you know, and I ended up like, you know, minus 5 pounds total. So that was like great. It worked out well. But I legit ate like a dude. I ate like Chris Christie. I had gelato 3 times a day. I had, oh my gosh, piccata, chicken piccata, shrimp piccata. I had everything. I had the some amazing red, you know, pasta with red sauces and guanciale and all of it. Oh my gosh, so good. And, to say nothing of all the lemon delights I had. Jiminy Christmas, I had so much. So anyway, that's the story. That's the story. If you want to lose weight, go to Italy and eat everything and just walk. I'm not kidding you. One day we walked 12 miles. I didn't even know that. You don't even know you're walking that much. And then unless you have something that tracks it and you look down, you're like, holy cow, for real. Like you do not realize how much you're walking because there's so much to look at. But literally we walked, I think the least amount was like 7 miles one day. No joke. That's it's crazy. So there you go. Go to Italy to lose weight. It's worth it. All right. So let's get into some of this other stuff. And thank you all for the nice birthday wishes. I do appreciate it. That's right. I'm not a celebratory person. I like to celebrate other people, but I get real weird when everyone's like that. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.